You know, it was just last week that a really significant anniversary took place in Tallahassee. We're going to tell you about that and talk about it throughout the next hour right here on Perspectives, because it is Thursday and it is time for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for tuning our way, and you are always welcome to be part of the conversation, regardless of where that leads, by giving us a call at 414-1234. If you're old-fashioned, long-distance landline, we got to give you that number, too. That's an 800 number. Does anyone even use those anymore? That's 800-926-8809. If email is your communications mode of choice, we are perspectives at WFSU.org. Or you can be really modern and up-to-date and send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Well, last week, as I was saying, it was the 40th anniversary of Save the Old Capitol Night. And in case you're unfamiliar with that, that was an urgent, some might even say desperate effort to save Florida's historic state capitol building from demolition. And it seems particularly appropriate on the golden anniversary of Springtime Tallahassee that's happening this weekend, which was an attempt to keep the seat of state government in Tallahassee, that we look back on how we almost lost the building that most people still think of as the real Capitol structure. So that's what we're going to talk about for the next hour. You got to meet these folks. They are terrific. We say hi first to Tiffany Baker, Museum Director of the Florida Historic Capitol Museum and kind of the instigator of this whole discussion. Good to see you, Tiffany.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
And you brought a good friend, too, Christy Kuntz, coordinator of Save the Old Capitol Night. Hey, Christy.
Well, hello. Good morning, and thank you.
We have on the phone with us Dave Farrow, who is the retired historic preservation architect for the state of Florida. Hey, Dave.
Tom, it's good to be with you this morning.
It is wonderful to have you on the line, sir. We also say hi to, and I think she's back on with us, Friedrich Mittner, president of the Florida Trust for Historic Preservation and West Palm Beach Historic Preservation Planner. Friedrich, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Good morning. Excited to be on the show.
It is great to have you on the show, too. Let's circle back here to Miss Tiffany just for a moment and find out, fast-forwarding from that 40-year preservation effort so long ago, how's everything at the Capitol right now? You guys have gone through so many changes, so many remodelings. I hear you're taking one of the bathrooms back to the way it was in the water closet days. But people still just come in and consider this kind of the heart of the city, don't they?
Yes, really. I think we very much are the centerpiece for the landscape of Tallahassee, and all of that is due to the work that was done 40 years ago by the citizens, Christy and others, who really made the effort to save the building. And I think there's no argument that Tallahassee would look very different if we had not saved that historic structure. It's really a beacon, I think, for historic preservation in the city, and it's a success that we should all be proud of and relish, really, when we see that landscape.
The absence of the old Florida Capitol would certainly change the look of most of the political advertising that we see in Florida right now, because everyone uses the old Capitol as the politicians in Tallahassee. Oh. You don't have any politicians in Tallahassee in the old Capitol. You got lots of tourists and folks who can talk about it, but they're next door. They're to the west of you there.
They're across the way, but yes, we are, I think, one of the most iconic images for Tallahassee and for Florida state government in particular. And every time we see a logo that features us, we chuckle a little bit and enjoy it, because we'll take the free advertising. So it's a positive, not a negative.
Well, Christy Kuntz, talk a little bit about the Save the Capitol program there 40 years ago. And you guys last week kind of had a review of that, if you will.
Yes. I was so thrilled to come last week, be a part of it, and be just swimming in memories. So well done by Tiffany and her staff. And, of course, Bruce Smathers was there. I think the one thing I want to impart is that the memory that's most vivid and remains so for me is looking out the front doors right before the event was to start, and there were people as far as the eye could see, and that's in one of the images from the Tallahassee Democrat. I donated a scrapbook that I kept during the whole effort a few years ago once I knew the museum was going to hold on to it. And I will always remember that, just the shock, because there was no email, social media, no way to find out what might happen except to kind of be there. The Florida Press Corps did a really good job of letting the citizens of Florida, as well as all the groups we contacted, mm-hmm. just ad nauseum. If I thought of a group, I would contact them and ask them to show up or truck to Tallahassee.
Well, I don't want to apportion blame, even this far removed from the actual situation, but whose bright idea was it to tear down the old Capitol in the first place?
Oh, my. Well, I guess it emanated from Governor Askew, was one of the leaders of the PAC. Now, we must say, though, he in later years, I think, became a real proponent of the old Capitol and served as the chair of one of the boards associated with the old Capitol. So, and then there were some politicians, too. They were kind of in it up to their elbows with plans and the new building. And Bruce decided that he would be in it up to his elbows to stop it and kind of planted himself in the halls. And I worked for him. And so I proceeded. He anointed me with a letter opener and said, "Christy, you are the chairman of the Save the Old Capitol. Don't let anything go wrong."
No pressure.
Yeah.
Low key.
Yeah.
How close did we come to losing it, really?
You know, I don't know the inside story, but I think that it was already the votes were stacked, my understanding. Mm-hmm. And then constituents, again, with the support of the Florida Press Corps, who, remember, they had a big presence back then in the Capitol, and the major newspapers covered the night and the aftermath and continued to. And it picked up a lot of steam. And so I give great credit to the media for extending what we did.
Dave Farrell, talk about the architecture of the old Capitol, because it does seem so distinctive, so iconic, especially in its 1902 iteration. It kind of got a little bit, should we say, sprawled out there right before that remodeling. But it is a very special building, is it not?
Well, it certainly is. It's a classically inspired building. At its core, the original 1845 structure is still there. And in 1902, when Frank Milburn expanded the building, he added a structure to the north and the south. He created more monumental porticos on the east and west, and then added the dome, which is so much a character-defining feature of the city of Tallahassee now.
Yeah, the original dome that was put on top of the 1845 Capitol was kind of a wimpy little thing, wasn't it?
Well, there wasn't a dome in 1845. There was an addition, basically a cupola in the 1890s, and then any substantial architectural feature that the one that we recognize today was part of that 1902 work.
Frederick Minter, if I can ask you, as far as the Florida Trust for Historic Preservation, your organization, is concerned, why was it such a big deal to keep this building intact, at least the way that it ultimately turned out when it was taken back to its 1902 iteration?
Well, of course, it symbolized, the history and the founding of Florida, and it really drew everyone together. I know being in South Florida, people think Tallahassee is so far away, but we do need that continuity and kind of that home base for everybody. And so what was great is the thoughtful citizens' actions in saving it is then what was the impetus for the Florida Trust for Historic Preservation. I thought, well, if we can, participate in that campaign to save the old Florida Capitol, what other preservation issues can we take on a statewide level?
Well, that's something that we're even wrestling with now with the remaking of some sections of Tallahassee, whether it's the new Cascades Project or College Town or any of those other redevelopments that are taking place right now. Tiffany Baker, as far as the We've talked about certainly the past of the Florida Capitol. What about the future? Is it now going to be locked in amber and there will be no changes? This is the way it was in 1902, and by gosh, it's going to stay that way. You have some living things that go on there too, though, right?
Yes, and the exterior, of course, is going to be maintained as it looked in 1902, as well as the key restored spaces within the building itself, the House and Senate chambers, and the Supreme Court and the Governor's Suite. But we are a living and breathing institution that is constantly changing and trying to do new work to tie people to the political process in Florida. And if there is any better sort of signal of that, it's the ongoing use of the building and in particular the steps of the building as the sort of the iconic front doors of the Florida political process. I mean, this year in particular, of course, we saw a huge use of the building. And so I said this on Thursday night, we are honored to work in a place where people feel that they can express their say in the political process. And I think that in particular is one of the most important parts of the saving of the building, in that it created this venue and avenue for people to feel like they're connected to the process in a way maybe that they don't feel in other spaces. And so we're very grateful for that opportunity. The other thing that will be happening around us, of course, is the Capitol Complex upgrade project. So while we are a symbol of sort of stability of the 1902 building, I think that you will see some exciting and modern changes happening around the building that will hopefully increase accessibility both to our space and the Capitol Complex as a whole. And I think it's very exciting, and I think it's a good indication of how historic preservation and historic fabric can be incorporated into a new landscape. So we're very excited about that. And you mentioned the bathrooms. That's happening on Monday. So we're starting a demolition process on the bathrooms. The ones on the second floor won't be recreated as 1902 bathrooms, but we'll have a look that maybe feels a little more 1902 than they do now.
A little time capsule here on the second floor. Talking about the historic old Florida Capitol, a building we nearly lost some 40 years ago. Love to hear from you on Perspectives, 414-1234, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. And don't forget, all those phone numbers have an 850 in front of them. So we'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives talking about Florida's most iconic building, which is the old state capitol, which is right here in Tallahassee. It's so cool. You don't have to drive far to see it. It's right downtown. Hey, a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. We have upgraded, like the old capitol, remodeled, haven't put in new bathrooms yet. We're working on that one. Go to WFSU.org, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, click Perspectives, because we archive past shows. We try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs, at least within 24 hours. So you can go back and listen to the program over and over. If you're just joining us, Tiffany Baker, Museum Director of the Florida Historic Capitol Museum, Christy Kunst, Coordinator of Save the Old Capitol Night, and on the phone, Dave Farrow, retired Historic Preservation Architect for the state of Florida, and Friedrich Mintner, who is President of the Florida Trust for Historic Preservation. Okay, Christy Kunst, when the word got out that it was not only Governor Ruben Askew, but a cabal of Florida lawmakers who were saying, bring in the wrecker's ball, let's reduce it to rubble. Is that when people start going, oh my God, we got to do something?
Well, I think that the event created an opportunity to ask for help from citizens, from groups like, I wish I had a list, but, you know, of course, Springtime, they were local. They offered up the Bells and Gents, who were crushed against the walls by all the throng of people who came in. But, you know, the women's clubs, gardens clubs, Girl Scouts, museums, junior museum. I can just remember, you know, back then it was the telephone. being on the telephone, just constantly just scrawling down, you know, things and people and asking for help. And the Museum of Florida History, when Askew wouldn't open up his offices for the public to see that night, the museum and I worked together, Joan Morris, to get those photographs out and pin them up on big boards. And if you don't think that made the public laugh and be somewhat aghast that they weren't allowed to go into those offices, it couldn't have worked out better, really.
Yeah, what sunshine law, right?
I mean, so, and even one of my favorite memories, and I feel so fortunate that I have a chance to look back and remember. And I remember the cleaning personnel coming in way beyond the normal hours. And the old Capitol, remember, had been closed up for quite a while. So there were some dust balls and neglect, and they shined up those banisters and the steps and just made it really look good for that one night. And the Jean McCulley, she got all the garden clubs to adorn areas with flowers. Nancy Dobson with the Tallahassee Historic Preservation Board got thousands of signatures of people that came through the building. Tiffany and her staff put those up the other night. It was really amazing to be there.
Yeah, but there, when you look at the Capitol as it was when it was closed, and then what it looks like now, that was a massive reconstruction project, right?
It certainly was.
Mm-hmm. And where did the money come from for that? It could not have been insubstantial.
It was an appropriation that was made. Yes, they made a commitment to it. Once they committed to taking it back to 1902, they made a commitment to funding that project. And then some of the things that you see in the museum today, for example, the reproduction desks were really sponsored by the people of Florida and organizations that stepped up and were asked to support the project, and they said yes. So there was a whole nother period of time where we went through this phase that the people of Florida expressed again their interest in the saving and interpreting of this building. So it didn't just finish with the Save the Old Capitol night, you know, and that's really wonderful. Every time we take people through the building, I point out the desks and the plaques on the desks to note that these people stepped forward and said, this is important to us, and we're here for it. And it's really wonderful to see them every time go into those spaces.
Well, and Dave Farrow, that had to have been a huge project, too, doing the forensics to determine how do you match up things like the pattern in the carpet when there in 1902 was, of course, no color photography. What happened there to try to make this as accurate as possible?
Well, you bring in the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Tom, and they did analysis, computer analysis on historic photographs of the governor's suite. I think that's what you're referring to, is the carpeting in the governor's suite.
Yeah.
And through their work, they were able to actually match up the design of the carpet with catalogs, and then. It was a matter of selecting a color scheme that was compatible with the other colors that were used in the governor's suite at that time.
It's just such a remarkable experience when you look in on that and think, my gosh, in contrast to what we now have, the entire governor's office complex there on the southern end of the main new Capitol building, just this little office and this little conference room that's right next door to it. And that was the executive branch of the state of Florida back then.
Yeah. Well, that's really the interesting thing about the 1902 Capitol. You had the entire government of Florida under one roof. You had the judiciary and the legislative and the executive branches in that one building. Until about 1913, when they built the Whitfield Building, and the Supreme Court moved into the Whitfield Building.
Yeah, that's just so amazing. A little full disclosure here, I worked for a time for the telephone company, what was Centel and then Sprint and all that. And part of the history of Tallahassee that I got to document was a local doctor by the name of Moore, M-O-O-R, actually brought telephone technology to Tallahassee shortly after Alexander Graham Bell invented it in 1876. And he also published the first phone book in Tallahassee. And at that time, which was right around the time of the old Capitol in the early 1900s, there were 10 listings for state government. And one of those was the Capitol janitor. And that was it. So yeah, the governor, House, Senate, Supreme Court, janitor, and whatever else, but just 10 listings grand total. Bill's been patiently waiting on line three. Let's add him to the conversation. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, I love old buildings. And probably about 10 years ago, I was looking through Florida Memories online, and I saw this building, and it was like it took my breath away. And I don't have it in front of me, but if I recall, it was built like in 1898 or 1896, and it served as at one point either as the city hall and a post office. And it was torn down in the 60s to make way for like a motel or hotel, I guess, downtown. And it had spires on it. It was gorgeous, and I don't know if y'all, I'm sure you all know about it, but I would encourage people to go to Florida Memories, just look at it, because if you don't look at that building and say, we should save old buildings, then I don't know what would do it, because it was the prettiest darn thing.
I've got a book in my office that it's an historic photograph collection from old Tallahassee, and I'm visualizing that building, and I wish I had it here in studio with me right now. Any idea, Tiffany, with that?
I'm not familiar with that particular building. Dave might be, but I just want to say, Bill, thank you for bringing up floridamemory.com. That is the forward-facing website for the State Archives of Florida, and they have done an outstanding job of digitizing the records of the state, in particular their photographic collection, started by Joan Morris, who Christy Kuntz just mentioned. And it is a wonderful resource in so, so many ways, and it is important to us as historians and to the general public, I think, for understanding what our communities looked like over the years. So I just wanted to chime in on that. But Dave, I don't know if you're familiar with that building in downtown.
Yeah, that's the old post office courthouse building, I believe. Okay. And there was a Romanesque building. It was just a wonderful building downtown. And it was long gone when I moved to Tallahassee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, as we mentioned, Dave, that discussion still continues. Maybe Friedrich can jump in on this one, too. We just had a couple of significant demolitions down at the eastern terminus of Gaines Street, what was the old Firestone building but had begun life as actually the Leon County Jail, the second jail, because the first one was a city jail, mm-hmm. and then the county jail, where it was an Art Deco structure dating from the 30s there. How should those discussions proceed? Friedrich, let me throw that to you. As communities wrestle with what goes and what stays, and how do we determine which is which?
Yes, those were such wonderful buildings, and what a shame for Tallahassee to have lost them. I know they were both placed on the National Register of Historic Places, but I think there's often a misconception that protects them from demolition or alterations. But really, preservation continues to be a grassroots effort, and they need to be designated at the local level so they have the protections from demolition. And I think, you know, when there is a loss in the community, and I think a lot of people were shocked to see that these buildings were coming down as well as the beautiful trees that surrounded them, that I hope it inspires people to take action, just like with the old Florida Capitol, of come out, talk to your politicians, tell them this history is important, and enact ordinances and designate and protect these buildings. That's the only way it's going to get done if there is that regulatory aspect to it at a local level. And so hopefully, you know, it's so sad to lose buildings, but hopefully it is an inspiration to save others that, you know, might have faced the same fate otherwise.
And maybe for those folks who document such things, I know we have a number of preservationist organizations here in town. We have a number of archivists who are working to try to come up with a comprehensive catalog of some of the historic old buildings that we have that many people might not be aware of. I'm thinking of Springhouse. People, when Clifton Lewis was living in that, Clifton, of course, of her family of Lewis State Bank fame and all that, it back in the woods there off of US 27, if you weren't looking for it, you would never find it. And yet that Frank Lloyd Wright gem mm-hmm. is now become a focus of restoration and preservation. But you got to know the stuff is there and then get involved with it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else do we need to know about the old Capitol other than the fact that I think, Tiffany, didn't you have a lot of pushback on those awnings? Those candy stripe awnings when they went up. I remember reading all kinds of comments, not all of them complimentary on those things.
Well, now they're an iconic feature of the building, so I think they'll probably stay as they are. But I think Dave can probably speak a little bit better to this since he was involved in that initial sort of research process. But there was a lot of discussion regarding what color and the look of the awnings. So there is evidence that they were green and white at one point. There's very clear evidence that at one point they were white, the awnings that were on the building. There's, you know, postcards and things of that nature that document that, as well as the evidence of the red and white. So I think they finally, the preservation architect, the lead one really on the project was Herschel Shepherd out of Jacksonville, who was involved with a number of really important historic preservation projects throughout Florida. And he's talked about it before that there was kind of a compromise on that. But Dave, what do you know more about the decision to finally pull the trigger on the red and the white as opposed to the green and white?
Well, I think that had more to do with Milburn's color scheme that was used throughout the building. They were allusions to the red, white, and blue. Mm-hmm. And the green and white, there was always a bunch of controversy about the green and white striped awning shown in postcards because you have to remember that all those postcards were hand-colored.
Right.
And an artist could easily exercise, you know, a little bit of license and change those. But there was ample evidence in the documentation for there having been red and white striped awnings on it at some point in its history. Those awnings had to be replaced periodically, so you know that's something that could have changed over time. But there was so much. The one thing about the project that I think it really impressed me from the beginning is the amount of research, the detailed research that went into developing the accurate representation of the building in 1902. Because in 1923, when the building was expanded by Henry Clutho, the porticos were removed, additions were placed on east and west of the building, mm-hmm. and the interior was changed very mm-hmm. drastically. And so there was a lot of selective demolition that was required. We never had a set of plans for Henry Clutho's, Franklin Pierce's 1902 work. Clutho had one sheet of drawings in his set of drawings for the 23 work. A lot of selective demolition had to be done to determine what that 02 building was like. And a lot of historical research, archaeology was done, and a lot of detailed work, including the work on the dome, which it took a fortunate turn when some of the researchers found a deposit of stained glass in a wall cavity up in the attic that allowed us ultimately to recreate that dome.
Dave, talk about how you got the glass out of the wall. Dave told me this story, told us as staff this story recently. We had perceived it one way, and then he filled in some blanks recently, and now we've added it. We told people that story. I had a wine and cheese curator store a couple weeks ago where I was like, guess what happened? But you have to tell it because you were there. So you tell us.
Well, I was a member of a team of six. Actually, there were 2 3-party teams that were employed to document all of the capital that existed in 1978 that was demolished. Somewhere between 75% and 80% of the capital that existed then is gone. And we had to architecturally document all of that construction that is now gone. But we were always looking for evidence of, to answer some of the critical questions for the restoration. And one of them was, what was the stained glass dome really like? And we were up in the attic on a lunch hour and shined a flashlight down in a wall cavity and saw something down there that looked interesting. We could make out aside from some liquor bottles, a cuspidor, and then what looked to be pieces of glass, but there was a thick coating of dust and dirt over the top, and it was down too far to reach. So one of our members, a very thin young lady by the name of Rose Petrucia, volunteered to be lowered down into that wall cavity to retrieve some of that material so we could determine what it was. And when she came out, she had some pretty significant pieces of stained glass that were immediately recognized as part of the dome. So we actually fabricated some kind of oyster claws and kind of things that the fishermen used, and fished out more of the material. And by that time, Catherine Lee, who was Herschel Shepherd's architect on site, realized what we'd found, and she instructed the demolition contractor to open the wall, erect some scaffolding there. We extracted all of that material.
And the rest is history.
Exactly.
Heading in for a break right now. Back on the other side, more about the historic state capitol here in Tallahassee, efforts to preserve it and keep it an iconic symbol of state government. That's coming up right here on WFSU's Perspectives. It does not seem possible that a building just as well recognized and architecturally significant and just really cool, if you want to use the modern terminology, as the old Florida Capitol could once have been in danger of vanishing, of being reduced to rubble and hauled off to the landfill, never to be seen again. Because after all, that's what we look at even today with the big new Capitol. And Dave Farrell, if I can bring you back in, that was a great story, by the way, about discovering the the remnants of stained. Were they all there? Was that Pardon the me? Entire makeup of that skylight, of that stained glass skylight, everything that was found in that wall cavity?
No, it wasn't. Actually, it was a considerable portion of it, but the individual pieces of stained glass were smashed. There were very few whole pieces. And virtually none of the came, the lead that held the glass together was there. It appeared to us that that had been salvaged, and so somebody used a hammer to break the pieces of glass. Mm-hmm. And so one of the big challenges of reconstructing the dome was actually putting the individual pieces back together so that you could determine what the pattern was.
And there were no photographs extant that you could look up and say, oh, okay, that goes here, that goes there?
No, the historians actually interviewed people who worked in the building before 1923, and no one remembered what was there. and so it was the one thing that we did know, Governor Jennings' speech in 02 when the building was opened, the stained glass wasn't there. The frame was there, but the glass wasn't there. It had arrived. And it didn't fit into the frame, so it had to be sent back to the studio for modification. And as we came up with the design for the glass, there were some kind of awkward aspects to it. And we had to chalk that up ultimately as what the studio did to make the glass fit. They just threw some heavier edges on some of the panels, so that they would fit in the frame, which wow. leads to a slight discontinuity in the pattern if you look at the...
If you look real careful, yeah. But again I love the postcards that you have down in the gift shop area, mm-hmm. Tiffany, of the stained glass. That has become just about as emblematic of the Capitol as anything else.
Absolutely. We use it on coasters as well. I don't know. When you come to our events, y'all will see them on coasters for the events. But they're perfect for that.
Okay. So. One thing I noticed from street level, though, is that there's a series of stairs up in the cupola, up in the dome.
Yes.
What's up with the stairs?
The stairs are the avenue to access the highest part of the cupola, which is the chute where essentially they change out the flags that are at the top of the building. So it's a very precarious trip up, I will say, but it's very interesting, and it is really wonderful to see the stained glass dome from above because it's a completely different perspective. Now, cleaning it is another story, but it's certainly fun to check it out from above. So those are the stairs that you see as you approach the building.
Yes, not open to the general public, we will add.
No.
Did it scare you, Christy Koontz, when there was at least, for a brief, not-so-shining moment, a proposal in the Florida legislature this past session to move the Florida, or at least to form a study group to see about moving the Florida Capitol yet again?
No, I just assumed that it was put together by someone who wasn't going to focus on some of the real issues at hand in Florida. Another one of these things that comes up and simply to me seems artistry of those who are not tending to what they were elected to tend. And I assumed it would die pretty quickly with a big thud, which it did. Yeah. Sorry to air my little political view there.
No, that's okay. No, we like different opinions on this program. That's what we do here. Friedrich Mittner, again, getting into historic preservation on a statewide level here. We seem to have a really, shall we say, tight time frame or horizon, event horizon here in Florida. We're always reinventing ourselves, our locations, our buildings, everything else here. And how do you kind of get a better appreciation for some of the unique things that we have? Because so many of them are pretty darn new.
Well, I'd actually counter that. I think we have lots of old history and wonderful history, but I think people who come from other states just haven't acquired that sense yet. They tend to move to our newer communities and really don't appreciate the environmental and cultural heritage that we have. So I think it's really about education and exposure and getting them to special places like the Florida Capitol and learning about the history and the fun stories that go with it, like, you know, finding the stained glass pieces. And it is a challenge. And the other part that I always tell people, you know, when they say, oh, well, I've come from places where the majority of our buildings are this old. And I said, well, first of all, our archaeological component is much older than that. We, of course, have St. Augustine. And if we don't preserve what we have now, it won't be here for future generations. And I think sometimes people also forget what a harsh climate Florida is. Mm-hmm. And between storms and the humidity and the heat and the sun, the UV rays and the salt in the air, our buildings really face a tough time, and so we need to do whatever we can to protect them so they are there for future generations. So education, I guess, is my it was quite a long-winded way to say I think we really need to expose our newer citizens in Florida to the history we have through education.
Well, Tiffany Baker, I dare say that there are folks maybe who even were born and raised in Tallahassee, mm-hmm. who have not visited the historic old Capitol, whether they think that, oh, well, it's probably closed off to the public. It's all lawmakers and lobbyists and that sort of thing, which it, of course, is not. It's right. The building behind it. but you guys still get a pretty significant a trooping of people through that building in the course of a year, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And that's really been a big focus for us in the last few years. years is changing the conversation about the building, that we're not only this place where you can come and participate in the civic process, and we would love for you to do that, but that in the in-between times, we are still also there 363 days a year, open to the public. And we, you know, are always trying to create opportunities for educational and learning, you know, educational experiences for our visitors. So we have been doing some new things. We have trivia night every other month. We do the wine and cheese curators tours. We have like a family game in the summer, the movie nights on the courtyard, essentially trying to make the building more approachable and accessible to local Tallahasseeans. Because really outsiders do come to our building quite often. Many tourists come to Tallahassee specifically to come to our building into the Capitol complex, whether they're on the Capitol 50 Capitol Quest or just trying to check out the place. For example, on Saturday, we had a man who was waiting outside for the doors to open at 10 a.m. He was there. He was ready to go. He had gotten off the bus from South Florida. He was here for 12 hours, he said, and he wanted to know, I'm here to come to the Capitol. I've been to 40 Capitols. Plus, tell me what other things I need to do in these 12 hours. And my staff are happy to do that. And so a lot of times, too, I think we are the first stop and the kind of welcome to people to Tallahassee. And we're happy to do it. And we hope that folks start to come and see us, because we would love to see you and share what we have with you.
You talk about your staff. You have some absolutely incredible persons down there. May I give a shout out to Jim, who works the main desk? I did not know this until the March for Our Lives a few weekends ago, but he kind of is the unofficial official guesstimator of crowd size when it comes to the Capitol Police, because they don't have a clue. They go to him and say, Jim, how many folks do you think were there today? And he'll give his decided answer, which is usually right on the money. He is awesome. He really is.
He's wonderful. We're lucky to have Jim. Come see him on the weekends, y'all. He works most Saturday and Sundays, and the reason why he's so great at estimating the crowds, which I don't know if he told you this, Tom, he is a former reporter. So he, you know, is steeped in that over the years, reporting on crowds. And that's really the thing. I have such a wonderful staff that make everything possible at the museum. And if it weren't for them, you know, we would just, I don't know what we would do. And so they're creative and excited, and they love the building and being there, and I'm so grateful for them. So.
We've given all these props here to the old Capitol as well. We should. That is the prime topic of our conversation. But Dave Farrell, you know, the new building kind of gets some stuff thrown at it from time to time, whether it's the kind of phallic descriptors that get tossed about, or just the fact that it's this 70s kind of architecture here. Is there anything from an architect's viewpoint, a historic architect's viewpoint, significant about our new Capitol?
Well, it certainly represents the architecture of its time. Mm. And I have to say that the original design really didn't account for anything historic surviving on that site. And I think we're very thankful for everything that Secretary Smathers and Christie and all those people who contributed to the restoration of the Capitol over the years, because that building really does contribute kind of a sense of humanity to what otherwise would be a very stark Capitol.
Well, I saw something. I actually went to a library many, many years ago, and in a Life magazine dating from 1958, I'm thumbing through it, and it was here at the Leon County Library, and I came across this full-page artist's rendition of the proposed Capitol for the state of Arizona, and I swear it was our new Capitol. And is there any truth in that we just kind of inherited a cast-off from Arizona?
Well, I don't think it's a cast-off, but Edward Durell Stone's firm did another Capitol building, I believe, in the South somewhere that was very similar to this building.
Yes, right now, it's been really kind of fun in the one exhibit that we have up, Capitol Creations, Investigate and Create, there is a whole panel of all of 50 capitals. Mm-hmm. And so to look at the architecture all at once. It doesn't happen very often. I think people find it very striking. And there are a couple others that are tower capitals like ours. But I was saying in the break at one point, I'm sort of a reluctant advocate for the new Capitol building because Edward Durell Stone is an iconic architect. And so Florida didn't cheap out when they went after him to build the new Capitol. And Radio City Music Hall and the Kennedy Center in D.C., you can definitely see his influence from those buildings there on our new Capitol building. And I also want to advocate for him. It was definitely designed by committee. He put forward a proposal, but then a lot of folks got involved. So it's not, I don't think he can take full credit for how it ended up. So I end up being a bit of an apologist, I think, for the new design. But it's definitely iconic in its own right, for sure.
Yeah, and still has the best view in town.
Yeah.
Christy?
Yeah, I just wanted to add something, too, for those who feel like, you know, it's overwhelming to consider preservation or saving something, like think, well, what would I have to offer? I think that's what I learned from the old Capitol experience, is that everyone contributed something. From
yes.
Heidi's Bakery made a cake. Bobby Watt wrote a song, Save That Grand Old Southern Lady on the Hill. Mm-hmm. The Department of State artist Bill Thompson created the logo, which stands the test of time. And, Doyle Connor served orange juice. I mean, we can go from high to low, but there were so many people who it caught fire, the idea, very quickly, and they looked in their back pocket, well, what do I have to offer? And they gave it, and it made a difference. So I encourage people. An artist, right after the event, gave me a card, and it said, the courage of one is a majority. I think that's true.
That is. And Friedrich Mentner, to your point that education may be the secret to promoting a preservationist mindset in this state, another facet of that may also be organization, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So
the Florida Trust can help people get organized around their projects and their communities, we're happy to do so.
And that's the core of any kind of effort on this part. But the other one might be that folks need to get maybe a little bit more of local awareness, because even in the demolitions that most recently took place, this didn't just spring up out of nowhere. We had 6 months ago, this had come up, and we'd been talking about it on the air. And I know some folks had attended different meetings where these proposals were aired pretty fully.
Mm-hmm.
And so very seldom do you see the bulldozers and backhoes just suddenly show up spontaneously at a site and start ripping stuff to shreds. You can see it coming if you know where to look.
It seems like the world is speeded up now, and so things do happen more quickly than they did, let's say, 40 years ago. And a slower time, in this case, proved, successful for the effort. Believe that the times we live in now require a lot more speed on everybody's part to stop or facilitate.
And Dave Farrell, do you have a couple of other iconic structures, at least in our area up here in Tallahassee, that you think, wow, this is one or two that definitely should stay regardless of where the winds of future change may take us?
Well, actually, I think there are many in our community, and they've been identified by surveys. We also have some wonderful historic districts, residential structures and historic districts that contribute significantly to the character of the community. I hate to pick out any individual structures, but there are many of them in the community that really add to the richness of that urban fabric that we enjoy in Tallahassee.
And it may be a good excuse for folks to get out and do walking tours. Sometimes you can see stuff from sidewalk level that isn't so apparent when you're blasting by at 25 or 35 miles an hour.
Yep, that's absolutely for sure.
Well, folks, on this, the golden anniversary here of the culmination of an effort to keep the Capitol in Tallahassee, we also celebrate the 40th anniversary of actually retaining that building that today we go by and say, that looks pretty doggone neat. Aren't you glad it stayed around? Tiffany Baker, Museum Director of the Florida Historic Capitol Museum, Christy Koontz, Coordinator of Save the Old Capitol Night, and well you did, madam. Dave Farrow, retired Historic Preservation Architect for the State of Florida, and Friedrich Mittner, President of the Florida Trust for Historic Preservation, to all of you, thank you for a job very well done. Thank you for saving our old Capitol and keeping it alive for all of us to enjoy today.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks,
Thank
guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance from Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls on the phones and internet connections. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, Tallahassee already has a pretty solid reputation as a family-friendly place. But how can the public and private sectors work together to make it even more so? We'll talk about it next week right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.